Hemshe Chaim Beis, Volume 1, in the middle of, close to the beginning of Discourse 34, page 261, chapter 135. So, after establishing that the Ovis, Ve'era El Avram El Yitzchak Ve'el Yaakov Be'kel Shaddai, Ushmiya Violin Adaiti Lam. So Kel Shaddai captures the primary revelation and primary work of the Ovis. So as he explained it, the word Shaddai captures it in the sense the words from the word Dai. One word Dai, which really reflects enough the boundaries of existence and the boundaries of the divine energy that shapes existence. And that's where the Ovis realigned the universe to the way it was intended by its creator, and as we explained, not just the minimum energy, but the maximum energy, the abundant energy, but all within the parameters of Dai. So even for Kesi Lochem Brocha, Ad Bli Dai, Ad Sheiv L'Sabseseichem, Malemer Dai, explains is also within the parameters, but the maximum. Like it spills over. It's not pure Bli Gvul. It does not annihilate and does not destroy the structure of existence. It's within the structure, but bli dai, as much as possible. So, in contrast, Matan Torah will introduce a whole new revelation that's even beyond the structure of existence, true transcendence. So in this Maimer, Va'asim Dvarim B'Ficha, chapters 134, which we learned, he explained, Bira Inyan, to explain this, he begins with the Pardes that says there's two types of Yechudim, two types of unifications. One we'll call maintenance. It maintains and sustains existence, which is also necessary. So once, for example, existence creates, you need constant maintenance, you need a constant energy flow. You can't just depend on yesterday. In the past, you need to maintain the flow. That's Yechud number one. The words of the Paradis, Lashpia Shefa the Kima Elmas, Vulachadash Yishanis Levad. It's renewing that which already exists. It's not a chiddush fundamental because it's renewing that which exists. It's always easier to maintain something once it's there than to put it there in the first place. But this too is not just a simple matter. This is not minimum maintenance and sustenance. That existence should be as perfect as it could be, as it was created in the beginning before man's sin. And the second yichud, lahamshich er chodesh mamish, to introduce a new energy. I gave the example of tzaddikim and balei tshuva. You can give many examples of this, health and regaining health after there was illness. The idea where there's a certain newness, something new is innovated when you have to correct something, or you have to either correct, or a time comes where you're given a blessing to be able to introduce something completely new, which happens in our lives. We have experiences which are maintaining good things that we've done, and then there's time to time a chadash in our lives, a marriage, birth of a child. And I'm just giving examples of two levels of so-called healthy flow of energy. One is, as I said, the maintenance. The other is the chiddush, which obviously, even though he doesn't spell it out, it's very clear that one is the Ovis, what the Ovis did, and the other is what Matan Torah will do. But that we'll get to later. And then, this is the Pardes. Then the Rebbe Rashab goes into a discussion, clearly very fundamental, especially if you're familiar with Kabbalistic ideas, that according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, which is a different Kabbalah as the Ramak. Moshe Karaviro lived in Tzfat before the Arizal came there, and he actually became a student of the Arizal, although he was older than him. But they're very different Kabbalahs. They're very different approach to Kabbalah. Now is not the place, but there are places where it discusses at length the difference between the Ramak's Kabbalah and the Arizal's Kabbalah. The Arizal obviously ultimately is the final say, but the Ramak clearly is a giant, as you see. Chassidus brings them both, and here the Rebbe Rashab actually reconciles them. He says, according to the Kabbalah Arizal, what are these two Yechudim? You see right here, the Pardes is far more almost rational explanation. Arizal is far more cryptic. Like the Arizal uses words Yisrael, Yichud Yisrael, Sabbat, Tfuna. The Pardes says, So you see a certain it's more palatable and more presented in more logical terms usually. The Arizal, however, is far more mystical in a way. I mean, not that the Arizal doesn't have places where he explains things, but the explanation is not always as obvious. But here he brings them together. So he said, what are these two Yechudim in the language of the Arizal or Kabbalah of the Arizal? One is Yichud Yisrael Saba V'Tfuna. As I said yesterday, not to be intimidated by terms. The key is to understand it's just a name, it's just a description. So one is the Yichud of Yisrael Saba. Yisrael Saba is a level, which we'll discuss in a moment. And Tfuna is essentially a dimension of Bina. So there's a Yichud of Yisrael Saba and Tfuna. He says that's the Yichud number one. This is called Abba V'Ima Tatoin, the lower Chachman Bina. And then there's a second Yichud Abba V'Ima Eloin, called higher Abba and Ima. So basically a higher dimension of Meichin and a lower dimension of Meichin. So there's two essentially intellectual unifications, if you wish. One is the lower, which is Yisrael Sava and Tfuna, and the other is Abba V'Ima Eloin. Shein atzmus hameichin. That's the core intelligence. The other one would be more external. Okay. So now the Rebbe Rashab explains this, and explains it also in Aveda. So let's sum up the explanation, and then we'll continue. What's the explanation? It goes like this. To understand what is Yisrael Saba, obviously. So Yisrael is, of course, the name, the general name we give the Jewish people. After Yaakov's wrestling with the angel gave him the name Yisrael, right? So Yisrael is a name, and of course Yaakov is a name. Now Yaakov has two names. They become, sometimes we call Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael. But Yisrael obviously becomes the primary name. Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael. So what's Yisrael? So Yisrael, there's two levels. There's Yisrael Saba, and Yisrael Zuta. It brings from the Zohar that Yisrael Saba, Yisrael Zuta, is when it says, Kenar Yisrael. Kenar Yisrael. Nar Yisrael means Yisrael as a nar, as a child. Now, what do you mean by child? Obviously, we don't mean in age. We mean in development. A child symbolizes a less developed maturity, intelligent maturity. Emotions are a primary force. And the Zohar says, Yisrael Saba, Ishma Yisrael. So we have two levels of Yisrael. Yisrael Saba, Yisrael Zuta. Zuta means small in Aramaic, and Saba means great, or Saba, the grandfather, you know, mature. Sage, the elder. Okay. And both these levels of now, so now we have three levels basically. We have Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yisrael breaks into two levels. Yisrael Zuta and Yisrael Saba. So now he continues. Both levels of Yaakov and Yisrael Zuta are in Midas. As I just explained, Midas. Now Yisrael. So what's primary in a child? Before Bar Mitzvah, before Meichen begins to, before intelligence, but cognitive skills begin to develop, primarily emotional. Now we're not talking here in a negative way, we're talking simply in Aveda, as we shall soon see, most of us react first emotionally to things. The ability to have that mind over matter, if you don't mind, it doesn't matter, as they say, or the ability to have that type of mind control in a real way, in a serious way, requires a maturity. It requires a maturity, not just that you don't react externally, that most adults are ashamed to react, but you don't even react internally because you've reached a level where certain things are just meaningless to you. Where for a child it could be a major thing, or for someone that's immature. Naveda will soon discuss the two. So in development and growth of a human being, there's the emotional stage, and then there's where mind begins to harness or direct, control. When you reflect on something, it begins to somewhat temper a person's emotions. Both are necessary, but emotions without mind essentially are impulsive. A mind without emotions obviously is just a dead computer that's just giving you instructions. So life is played out in the world on the emotional platform, emotional realm, but it should be directed and guided by the mind. Explains this in Tanya at length. So we have both working. So now to go back here. So Yisrael, Yaakov and Yisrael, Zuta, are both in Midas. When he says Midas, he doesn't mean Midas. He says Meichin, the intelligence that is governing or around Midas. And Yisrael Saba is Moichin, is primarily intelligence. Now to explain this, he begins to say like this. He says that from the Ma'ere Er, to make it even more grounded, that there's Zah, Midas have an upper part and a lower part. In the human body, it's the heart, or it's the chest, is the level of Midas, with the mind. So you have Moich, Lev, Kovid, or you have Reish, Guf, Regal, the head. So there's three parts, and we basically, it's Chabad, Chagas, Nihi. It's essentially the structure. So Chabad is Meichin, is intelligence. Chagas is the emotions, and Chagas itself, or you can call it Zah in general, has two parts, what he calls one above the breast and one below the breast. Obviously, again, it's not physical, it's all on spiritual levels. Anything higher and lower in spirituality is conceptually. So what is that? So he says in the Meir Eir that Yisrael is Machza Elyon, and Yaakov is Chetzi Patzif HaTachton. So now we have in the Midas itself, that Yisrael Zuta, the lower Yisrael, the Nar Yisrael, and Yaakov are both Midas. In Midas itself, now there's two levels. Everyone following? We're going to end up having four levels of Meichin, just for the record. You're going to have the Meichin in Yaakov, you're going to have the Meichin in Yisrael Zuta, you're going to have the Meichin in Yisrael, Yisrael Saba, and you're going to have the Meichin in... What am I missing? Abba ve'ima Eloin. Because even Yisrael Saba is still Abba ve'ima at that time. So it's four levels of intelligence here, basically. The highest is the second yichud, the chidush. The next level is a yichud that continues and maintains. It's Abba ve'ima, but it's tatayin. That's Yisrael Saba. And then there's the two in the middas. Okay?
Is all four levels are chakmah with bina at their respective level, or just what
meet? Meichin was always chakmah bina das. The question is where they're residing. Are they residing in the lower level of the midas emotions? Are they residing in the higher level of the emotions? Are they residing in the whole lower level of meichin or the higher level of meichin? It's like Dalad Meichin, essentially. But I'm going to explain it, but this is, again, not mathematical. You'll understand it when you understand the logic of it. You have to apply it to yourself. We have these four things going on inside of ourselves, which he explains. They don't have to speculate. He explains it in Aveda. I'm just laying out the structure here. These are what I just said are the levels. Now let's explain them. Let me explain them and tell me if you get it or not. I'm just giving you that. We're going to explain four levels. So here's how it goes. In Yaakov, he says, the Midas are Murgoshes. You actually feel an emotion, an attraction to something or a repulsion. It also has intelligence. Even a child that like wants something, I'm not talking about a newborn now, but even a child that is attracted to, whether it's a food or some toy or whatever it is, there is a minimal amount of intelligence at work. The child, you see, children are very intuitive and very ingenious in getting something they want. But it's driven by emotion. So it's an intelligence, like we say about animals, you say animals have seichel hanikne. Animals are brilliant in their hunting and so on. But it's driven not by sitting down and reflecting and contemplating and then they get an emotion. It's the other way around. They're driven to hunt and they're inbuilt. They have a wisdom of knowing how to hunt in a very powerful way. So it's meichin, but it's meichin that's completely driven for only one reason, to get your emotion needed, to get your emotion, to get your need filled. So it's emotions that are driving the engine. Like he says, "Rusha mechin hadaka tam shel hamid levad." Kama lama yav, lama yisna. The reason, the mechin here is only a reason for the emotion, justifying it. Why do you love this? Why don't you? Why are you repelled by it? But there's no, you cannot call this an expansive intellectual experience. Basogis etzim adover. This is the level of Yaakov. This is Meichin within the lower level of Midas, which is lower than, the breast, Yaakov. And then he gives an example for this. Actually, this example was brought earlier, chapter 37. It says, if you remember from the Eitz Chaim, the example given that the way the divine energy manifests in different spheres, it goes like, in Chochmeh, b'chinas kiruv, it's close up. It's like a close light. It's like you see it from close. In Bina, distant. In Zah, it's like through a window. And a Malchus is like through a wormhole. And in Biyah, like after, through a curtain. So it's all examples of essentially how the same energy flows into each of the spheres in a different way. So he explained there, and he explains here, that this, what, how does it flow into Yaakov? Zah, talking about Zah is through a window. Window means a controlled flow, a regulated flow. The same sun that you see when you're outside, you see in full glory through a window. It can be very bright, but it's still, there is a, it's a channeling. It's a channeling. And there is some transparent, but it's still a veil to some extent.
Translucent.
So he says, what is this in conceptually? This is when you learn a psag din shulchan aruch. When you learn the halacha, halacha says kosher, not kosher. And the halacha gives you the short reason for it. You find Shulchan Aruch often, it just says a short reason. I gave the example, one of the classics is Sukkah. And Shulchan Aruch doesn't usually bring reasons, but by Sukkah it does. L'man yedu deyresechem, why do we sit in a Sukkah? That a generation should know that we once sat in Sukkahs, we were protected, whether it's the clouds of glory or actual Sukkah, it doesn't, in the times of Mitzrayim. So he says that reason is a short reason only to justify or explain the halacha. But in truth, there's a whole body of literature, a body of scholarship that led to this halach. And when someone learns it in its full scholarship, its reasons and arguments and expansive intelligence, as he calls it. Kishodom lemed ezeh pilpul omek b'talmud d'poskim b'svaris b'taimim rabim b'archov g'dela. It's a whole discussion. It's a whole it's a whole back and forth and so on. Then when the psak comes down, you get just the through the window, so to speak. You're getting
that reason is born in the Chumash.
Huh?
That reason is born.
Yeah, but it's fine. But he's saying in halacha. Read what he says here. That reason is born in Chumash, but halacha quotes it. So when halacha quotes it, it just quotes a short reason. I gave an example. That's all. You can give other reasons. It's basically you're getting some intelligence in the halacha, but the primary objective is not the logic behind it. It's the law. It's the ruling. But we're telling you briefly what is the reason behind the ruling. So it's like the final ruling when a judge gives you his ruling, he gives you his final thing, and he'll give you a summary of the reasons. But you don't see behind it all the research and all the elaboration. It's only an example of how in Yaakov middos are the main function, what is the middos, functionality is what matters most. And reasoning is only an adjunct, that would be right, a prop to support the emotion. That's essentially the example. Now what's an Aveda? And then he says, it's diminished and concealed within the emotion. So what you see primarily is the so-called the function, the actual reaction, or the actual ruling in this case. What's an Aveda is that there are times when we have an excitement. About something, and we're very, very passionate, but it's not driven by the intelligence behind it, it's driven by the emotional reaction. However, it's supported by an intelligence. The example he gives is Ahavas Hashem, on a slowest level. There's an expression, Ahavas Hashem, Ahavas Hashem Lekecha, Ki Hu Chayecha, because he's your sustenance, he's your life force. Since a person emotionally loves his life, his own life, so therefore, in turn, he loves the soul that gives him this life. In turn, he loves the God that gives him the soul. So what's the driving force is love of oneself, the love of one's life. We're not talking about a negative necessarily. We're just saying that's the, I want to live. And I appreciate God who gives me this life. So is there an intelligence? Yeah, Kamekain who maven, I'm sorry. And that's why Eivis Nafshe Shereitzu Gili Achayis. And that's why, and he realizes that the energy life force comes from God. That's why Alkeinu Eivis Alakus. I'm reading the bottom line. Vereitzeli is Gili Alakus. And he wants a revelation of the divine. Now I understand for most of us, this itself is an achievement. Many people don't even think about God altogether. But he's talking about the minimum, is it's about your life. So he says, V'zeu rak tam hamida va'av levad. But the God part is only justifying or an explanation for the midah. The midah here is that it's hu chayecha. He's your life and he's giving you something. In other words, your need and your satisfaction is what's driving, and intelligence is only a support to that. Then he goes further, and even when this is bonus b'sach v'shes, even when you contemplate a little more about the life force that God has given you, that's only the eifon ha'er v'achayis of the key. That's discussing how he gives you life. Even that is chitzenis ha'seichel. So think of it going back to, let's say we talked about the child. So a child has a feeling, it wants something. So yes, it will be ingenious in figuring out the reasons and say, okay, I will now love the person who's giving me this gift. You see, children sometimes will do that. They'll ingratiate themselves. And even if they contemplate a little more, it's all driven by their need. That's where it begins. In other words, the midah is the driving force and the seichel is a support to it. As we'll see in a moment, in meichin, it's the other way around. Meichin is the driving force and the emotion is a support to the meichin. And real meichin, we're going to learn, is not even, there's no emotion altogether. So we're going to really learn three levels here. So the first one we learned is an intelligence, but it's driven around emotions. It's really the one that we can relate to most. It's most of how we behave. It's somewhat animalistic, actually. I don't mean in a negative way. I mean to say it's survival. It's based on survival and intelligence used. What do most people do during the day today? Any day. They're using their mind how to make money. They're using their mind how to have control, how to get what they need or they want. That's most of most people's mind. You don't have very many people sitting just to refine and understand things in the name of just understanding it. It's in most cases in order for some utilitarian purpose. As a matter of fact, when you talk ideas that are not utilitarian, there are people who will just completely shut off and they'll say, I don't know what we're talking about. This is no practical. I don't know how to make money with this. I don't know how to benefit from this. And that's a common expression. I have no time for this. You know, this is good for people who have nothing to do. You know? That's the attitude. So to show us how much we're driven by survival. Is everyone following? Then he goes, this is Yaakov. This everyone relates to what I just said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now comes Yaakov. That was Yaakov. Now comes Yisrael Zuto, the low level of Yisrael. He says, higher than the breast. Now we're talking there, Amechen is Bisrachvus. Not just Bechin is Chaloin Levad. It's not just a window. And here he says, now you're really concentrating, contemplating. See, it's different words now. You're no longer just focusing on your intelligence of how I'm going to get what I need or what is the force that is giving me what I need, which also has an element. People want to know where their life force comes from, where their sustenance, where their blessings come from. Here he says, now you're focusing on the thing itself. The focus is not on you, but on the thing that in this case you could say godliness. It could even begin with chayecha. Maybe we begin like we say in shalei lishma bal lishma type of thing. You begin, what's in it for me? Now he says be'emek u'pnimi se'in. You see the contrast. What did he say before? His bonu si b'sach v'shez be'efen ha'er v'achayis aliki on line 2. That's chetzeni sechel. Because then he's talking about the efen chayis. Here he's saying the words are emek u'pnimi se'in. In the depth and in the inner dimension of the subject, or biskashus gedela. So he speaks both the subject you're immersing in, and also biskashus gedela, the method of how you're immersing is with a very deep devotion. To the point that your heart gets excited during your contemplation. But not got excited, not to begin the other way around. I want life, I want a candy, I'm going to figure out now how to get it, and I'm going to appreciate the one who's giving it to me. Now you're not beginning that way, now you're beginning the other way around. We're now focusing on the source, and we're understanding it. And that, you start realizing, let's say, the magnitude of God's power of giving life, you get excited about it. It's like getting excited about something that's awesome. And that in turn awakens an emotion. So now we're talking also middas. But this is really the middas that are higher than the breast, so to speak. In other words, as he put it before, this is Yisrael, or Yisrael Zuto.
What's
it?
Chassid
Zuto. What? Chassid Zuto.
Yeah, what's
it?
Chassid
You're asking me where technically it is, locally?
Yes.
I don't know. I have to dissect the human body. Figure out. I mean, you're not going to find me this if you open up the.
Conceptual. We're talking about.
Chazeh is the breast. It means the breast. This is the breast here. The chest.
This is
okay.
I
don't mean. It's the same.
As opposed to midos.
They're both meichin and midos. The one is chetzenius meichin and midos, and one is more pnimius meichin and midos. Let me continue here. Ve'ena margus is palas alav matmus etzim is kashrus is besichle. How did we explain this yesterday? Atzalim is palas, but atzim besa sager is bonus. Ve'ena margus is palas.
Because he has much higher.
Right. Excitement. Yeah. So it's not that the heart is feeling its excitement. It's an excitement coming out of the contemplation. Ha'ava ena tefesus mokum latzim pnei sheiklul ba'seichle mishim mechusa be'ena seichle is bonus. So. On one hand, you're no longer focusing on your benefit from it. You're focusing on the emotion is coming out of the concept itself. But on the other hand, he says, the emotion is here far stronger. Think about it for a moment. When a child wants something for its sustenance, like a candy or a toy or life itself, yes, there's a strong emotional power, and intelligence is nominal or only as a support to that, but how powerful is that emotion? It's only as powerful as your need. And if your need is not that strong, so you don't have so much love for it. And it can come and go. If it's an emotion that's coming out of the sheer magnitude and intensity of the thing you're thinking about, so the intelligence is feeding the emotion developed, much more sustainable emotion. However, on the other hand, it's not really an emotion that is your feeling, I want this or don't want it. It's an excitement about the subject matter. That's how he's explaining it here. So it's more powerful, but it's less subjective. Maybe that's a good word to use here. It's less subjective. With the meichin of Yaakov, which is the cotton, Kinai Yisrael. Well, actually, no, this is Kinai Yisrael. I'm sorry. Yaakov is not. Yaakov, it's the subjectivity of the emotion is the most powerful element, and the intelligence is guiding that. Here, the intelligence, but it's all an emotional sense, it's all still in the midas, is the guiding and subjectivity. Your subjective interest is less of the focus. This is still meichin and midas. We're not talking about meichin on its own because you are feeling an excitement, but the excitement is essentially an outgrowth of an intelligent process. So he says now in the parentheses, but if this is the case, isn't this because of the abundance and the dominance of intelligence? He says, Mekom mokom hazeh b'chal midas. V'pchines gadlus hamidas. He explains this is still, we're talking the level of emotion here, because we're talking midas of Zohar, we're not talking intelligence. Why? Because if you're talking pure meichin, chabad, that's beyond, above chagas, above midas, then there's no emotions altogether. If he got excited in his heart, even though it's a result of a mature mind, an expanded mind, as he brought here. Sometimes it says meratcha. What does it say? There's another word. Huh? Here he's using it. Meratcha. Okay, but the same idea. That a kochtzach. How do you say kochtzach? We said he boils in it. He's passionate about it. Yeah, like the Torah that's in Mishazel Misach v'Samechem Begili Era Seichel B'Yesod. So, what are we talking about when a person is excited when he's learning? You're excited in learning a piece of Torah, right? You really get excited. Your emotions are very powerful, but it's guided by intelligence. But it's primarily emotions. It's just mature emotions. Let me explain this even further. Because you could say, one second, are you talking how intelligence or are you talking emotions? Here's the key thing, and this I want to elaborate. It's a very critical point. As I said, we grow, a process of growth in Kabbalah, so this is used as three stages. Iber, Yenika, Meichen. You ever hear this expression? mutve murgish muskel. Basically, if we begin with ibur, is literally pregnancy. Yanika is nursing stage, and meichin is intelligence. Mutva murgish muskel is used more in more philosophical terms. Mutva is teva, murgish, meaning it's purely instinctive or impulsive. Murgish is you already have a control. I mean, you have a conscious feeling. It's not just reflexive. That's the word. It's not reflexive. That's the right word. Not mutva is reflexive. The next is a premeditated emotion, and muskel is intelligence. Generally speaking, the stages go something like from birth till 3 or 4, from 4 till 12 or 13, and then from 12, 13 till 20, 21, which considered to be when Meichen the Godless enters in. That's why.
After that is downhill.
After that is downhill, as you put it. Well, it depends, like the Gemara says, like the Rashi brings. Talmid Chachamim, as they get older, they're this, and Maratzim goes the other way. You know, yeah. Or there's the Mishnah, Ben Esim. Ben Esim the Kayach. When you get there, you'll find out. We can't tell you the secrets.
You have to open the door.
It's like the drinking mashka. You don't want to do it anymore then, besides Avram. But most people, by the 40s, the taiva gets weaker.
Really?
Okay, you have different, your blood is different. There's a different blood type.
O plus.
M.
R plus.
O plus. A plus.
Russia plus.
So let's go back here. So I want to say the key point is this. It's a very powerful concept. It's really based on Tanya. Someone asks you a question, so what do you expect us to become? We're emotional creatures, and when something affects us subjectively, it's very difficult to control yourself. Okay, so there's an element of iskafia where a person imposes self-control. And the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that self-control in chapter 12 is natural, inherent, not acquired. Okay, great. But the fact is, we all know, like the classic story, you throw the mice down and the cat starts running after the mice no matter how much you train it. And we all go back to we gravitate back to our emotional impulses. Just a question of what will seduce us, how much you need. Yet in Tanya he makes it very clear, a person has the ability, a benini, and every person can be a benini at any time, ability to control this, control your entire life, which seems almost impossible for most of us, practically speaking. And what do you do with emotions? Okay, let's say you control once, twice, three times. What do you do with emotions? So there's the element of educating your emotions. It's called emotional intelligence. This is something we don't really talk about. Everyone understands how mind grows. People go to adult education, continued education. You know, mind can grow. Knowledge makes the mind grow. Experience. But when someone says to you, can I make my emotions grow? How do you make your emotions grow? You're wired as you are. You'll be attracted to food from the moment you're born till the second you die. Nothing changes. If anything, he says in Tanya, as we get older, the taivas get stronger because you've fed yourself more. So what are you supposed to do with emotions? So here's the point. The point is not, we're not talking about annihilating them or suppressing them, period. That's not a healthy thing. You're talking about harnessing them, right? So let's take an example. If someone came over to you right now and insulted you, God forbid, so many people would take it to heart, especially if it was in public, and often they'll reciprocate and insult the other person in return. So, you know, it's a natural reaction. You're a little more mature, you probably will maybe control yourself, you won't do it. But, you know, we all do these things. What happens if a little child came over to you right now and started kicking you and insulting you? Most likely, you're not going to get down on your hands and legs, arms and you know, and start kicking back and scratching, right? I would hope so. Why? Because the child is not tefes smoking by you. The child is not your peer. The child is a child. You like laugh it off or just as a nuisance and that's it. What changed? What's the difference? The emotions, you're still emotional. The child's also insulting you. Because your mind tells you this is not significant. So when you see a child sitting and playing gleefully, completely animated, completely consumed with a toy, you don't see yourself being able to do that. We are consumed with things that some people with food, Some people with money, some people with covet, some people with learning. Could even be Kedusha. So a tzaddik who loves Torah mitzvahs and loves God, is his emotional passion for God less than the emotional passion of a little child for a toy? No. On the contrary, it's probably more. The difference is the object of the desire, the object of the emotion. That maturity has taught you that little toys don't matter, so you're not interested in them anymore. You've grown to realize that what really matters is something of value. Chassidus teaches you what really matters is godliness, is ruchnius, even more than gashmius. So it's not a matter of destroying your emotions, saying, no, I'm not going to be emotionally connected to anything. It's a matter of what you value. That's why when you learn chassidus, what it's supposed to teach is you to value more refined things. More refined things, less refined things become less important to you. So the emotions are there. Tzaddik doesn't give up his emotions. He just says, Ava is no longer to John Rishtusim. For a tzaddik or for a Beinani, what he's done is matured himself to a point. He's not interested in the things that we're interested in. He's not interested in petty or superficial pleasures. His pleasure now is in a divine thing. It's not that he's a holier person. You know, he's less Yetzirah. It doesn't say that in Tanya. He's just focused, he has a mature view on life, and different things matter to him. That is absolutely achievable. So if someone said to you, no, I'm not going to be drawn to anything, I won't be seduced by the world, that is not practical. You'll be seduced by it until you have something that's an alternative that's better. But if you're attracted to something that's really beautiful and holy and powerful, even if you're subjectively connected, but that's a good thing. It doesn't say just know God, it says, if you can love God as you love ice cream, and I don't mean to compare, to understand what I'm trying to say, you suddenly realize this, then by all means. So you've not destroyed your emotions, you're still the same human being, you just have, you've matured instead of a toy that you wouldn't play with when you're five, you're not going to play with when you're 25. So basically, like we said, we learned earlier about sweetness. Instead of sweetness of a candy, you want now sweetness of a niggun, of a song. You want sweetness of intelligence. You want sweetness of something that's ethereal.
But you want sweetness.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it doesn't say anyway. That's why we're not talking about changing human personality. Why am I saying this? I'm going now back to what he's saying here. So fundamentally, what's going on here in Midas is two levels. One is survival-based, chayecha, and you have a reason behind it, so there's some intelligence. The other one is, yes, it's an outgrowth of intelligence, but not outgrowth of intelligence as seichel atzmei. It's an outgrowth of intelligence that's guiding emotions to become more mature. So it's an intelligence that's teaching you that your feelings, well, you should be attracted to this, not to this. So that's a whole different, that's what he's adding in the parentheses. So it's also, even though it's coming from a meichin, but it's fundamentally an emotion here. It's just an emotion that's been matured. So the answer is yes. We don't just grow intellectually. We can grow emotionally, but you need the mind. One second. You need the mind. The maturity of the mind helps you grow emotionally. What happens to most people is, you know, what really happens, unfortunately, the emotions remain just as immature when they're 50, just like when they were 5. They just conceal it. The mind grows greatly, and there's a big dichotomy. They're very smart, but they're emotionally little children. Chassidus teaches: take your mind as you mature. Let it mature your emotional needs. So you have a far more... I mean, this what I just said is classic marital therapy. In any marriage where there's problems, what I just said is the key components. Where people's emotions are in the way, and they can't... And their needs become so powerful, and they can't step back and say, one second, if this marriage and love is so important, what am I loving exactly? Am I loving the superficial things in my marriage, or am I loving the important things? And it comes down, not that you can do this overnight. Obviously, maturity doesn't, you can't force it. But if you want to diagnose it, it's often very much what I just said, a dichotomy between mind and heart, but not like we usually say, the mind is in one place, the heart. We're talking about a dichotomy between heart and heart, between a mind that is lowering your that is helping your mind, your emotions mature, or a mind that is not. And that's where you find more and more and more problems. So it's not just smart person and is not yet bringing it into his emotions. His emotions have not grown as a result of his intelligence. This is real Aveda, what I just said now. This is real Aveda. This is actually working on a midah and seeing chesed, my love. What do I love? What am I attracted to? What excites me? And literally learning how to mature that to get excited, but get excited by something a little tefach higher. And you can grow in this. There's absolutely growth possible. This is a real growth. This is called smichus, or growth of the midas. based on, of course, the mind is the guide. Without that, the emotions are just simply too overwhelming and too subjective to really guide themselves. So you need an outside guide, a mind that says, okay, let me look at your life. Obviously, it's good to have another person, because at the end of the day, like he says in Tanya and in Perek Tes, the blood of the heart rushes to the mind. This is emotion. Subjectivity also control the mind. Sheikhid Ya'aver Einech Chacham. So we get biased. This is the level, what I just said now. Yaakov is the lower level. Here he's not using that expression. Later he uses it.
Could it be in the level of
here it's probably, Mutva is most likely more Yaakov, even lower than Yaakov. And Murgish is probably, it's all in the levels of Mutva and Murgish. No, Muskel is
because somebody's born in Mazel Maidim, let's say, so you don't say break it, don't break him, it just...
Right. Alternative, right.
Channel.
Instead of killing, Shacht. Yeah.
Exactly.
Instead of killing humans, kill animals.
Yeah. That's called maturing emotions.
Right. Is that mutva? That's true mutva. It's the nature. It's in his nature.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say. Mutva is usually reserved for reflexive, very reflexive. Like a child automatically cries when it's hungry. It's a natural emotion that's not controllable, really.
Innate.
Because he was born under a certain maslin. He has an innate.
Okay, fine. I mean, the understanding is clear. The question is how to apply it in each case. You know, you have to. I just use that as a point of reference. But what happens now? Here's a beautiful example. When you're sitting and learning Torah and you're kochen zechinit and it's really emotionally exciting, you're not excited about my life. You're not excited about my sustenance, what am I going to get out of it. You're excited about the Torah you're learning. It's an emotion, but it's an emotion no longer about a toy. Now it's about Torah. But so is this Meichin or Midas? The answer is it's Midas guided by Meichin. That's what he's saying. It's a more mature emotion because it's about a more mature object, but it's driven by intelligence. And then he goes further. There's another level. He says, he says, "Kumei gochin rashab shimon v'noshik." You know the context of that,
yeah.
Or is the story?
Yeah, the Talmud who explained to him a certain Indian, so he was so excited about it and he kissed him on the forehead.
But what gochin means?
Bend down.
Okay, there you go. So he says this is even more emotional, because the first one is the kochin zich, the passion around learning. Here, he actually got excited from the depth of the idea. And he bent down and kissed him, Rab Shimon Noshik. Who's the student, remember? So he says, Kol Zein Adayin Atzma Samechen Mamish. So Mashim Espol Belimboi. In other words, the first one is really a spiralis of the intelligence, of learning. Here he's actually getting excited, but it's also, so it's more Midas, but came because he appreciated the idea. It looks like a little different level than the first one. Because the first one says, Mashim Ispolov, he says, Aval Zeshim Ispolov, Hagam Shazom, Misrach Vesamech. And the first one is because he had expanded mind. And here is because he's excited. From the depth of the idea. Which maybe is even more, maybe more connected to the idea. First one, he's passionate because he's excited about the idea. He kissed him. It looks a different expression. I'm not sure. Looks to me like the second one is even more. Because he says, Gama filu, that he gets excited because of the depth. He says, because if it was real Atzmus HaMeichen, the real core intelligence, there'd be no excitement altogether.
Atzmus Amidus means generally the
core of the... Because here, at the end of the day, he was excited. You can't say it's core intelligence. It's Gadol HaMeichen HaShayachem L'Midus. And this is the level of Yisrael. L'Reish L'Yashab Midus V'Madregazu Hizgabas HaMeichen. This is Yisrael L'Reish. So it's higher than Yaakov. It's Reish. But it's a Reish that... is that matures the emotions. This is Yisrael Zutta. I'm nomin Yisrael Saba. I'm reading the next chapter. What's your question?
I heard about David's Amidus. David's Amidus is when the same word that's making is it Amidus. It affects Amidus in the same way. the greatness of the light goes in the meters, and therefore that's despite also the meters, not from the ring. It, even though we're calling this Gavras and Meitum Gavras and meters, doesn't sound that same idea.
I don't know what you learned. I know what it says here. I mean, what you learned, you have to show me. Did you learn something that's a contradiction to this?
I don't know if that's what he's asking.
He's saying here clearly that we're talking about the godless hamidus, that's driven by godless hamidus. So the mind is maturing the emotions. I just elaborated at length about
it. Yes, I
understand. But it's not intelligence on its own level.
Right. It didn't sound like there was just a way to say that the level of... I don't know what a level of energy that's in the mind is the same level of energy that comes into the heart.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I'm not sure. Gosh, I'm also not sure.
Are you referring to something now? You just
we spoke. It's not something new. We've actually spoken about it in the Sefer before. Gavras and Meitum Gavras and meters, as opposed to Bechein is just a conclusion.
So, what are you? Are you asking a question, or are you just?
Yes. I'm definitely asking a question.
I don't know what the question is.
The question is that here it doesn't seem like there's a that the meters are the same meters and the meters the same level as the meichin. It sounds like there's just a deeper in the explanation to the meters, and therefore the meters are.
And where does it say the meters are the same level as meichin? I don't remember such a thing. You have to find it and show it to me.
If I could, I would.
How could meters and meichin are two entities? They're set different realms. Anyway, this is explaining what he's explaining here. The fact that somewhere else may say other things may be different levels, fine.
Sure, but it sounds like a deeper ubechein. In other words, a more...
This is a very logical... What he just said is a very logical structure that is...
It's
the maturity of emotions based on the maturity of the mind.
In other words,
and now we're going to go to the mind itself.
In other words, what we were saying before is that just the conclusion of making, that's what affected the meter. The sakalaka, the fact that it's life itself.
I'm confused what you're saying.
Let me finish the statement, and I think I'll be clear that I finish the statement. Before we said that it's a vital issue that we know that life is such an important thing, and therefore we appreciate that. Here we're saying that the explanation of the idea itself actually develops the emotion. Actual explanation itself develops the emotion. So the whole reason for the explanation...
As opposed to
just being a conclusion...
That's the question. He said that's the Yaakov and Yisrael Zutta.
Yes.
Okay, good.
The explanation of the whole explanation develops the emotion.
Good.
That's the maturity of the emotion. Okay. So that, so to speak, is that the same ore of making affects the...
I don't know. No, it's not true. He's talking emotions here. He says clearly he's not talking about meichin. He's talking about meichin within midas.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Now we're going to speak about meichin on its own.
Okay, just another question. This is seems to be also the idea of tefillin.
I mean, first of all, I didn't hear a question. The first question, just for the record.
I'm just asking for an explanation. I hope it's a question.
Not. He makes it very clear it's not meichin. It's meichin within midas.
Yeah.
He says it many times. He makes it very clear. Meichin on its own doesn't have any emotions.
Right. We're going to say that.
Just said that. He said that.
Yes. Also, we seem to be, this seems to be the idea of tefillin. Tefillin is called the meichin shebezov.
I would not confuse matters unless you show me inside something. I can tell you if it's consistent or not.
Okay,
to talk, so show me exactly what you're talking about. Show me a line there, and I can tell you if I see it. You know, the fact that Rabbi Rashab doesn't bring it to me is a big statement. So why would we bring it unless you have an issue, a question? Fine. If you have something that contradicts this, I'm perfectly fine. Like I said many times here, there are many things you may have learned. Frankly, you may have not really learned it properly. That's number one. Number two, even if you did, it doesn't always have to be the same levels. There's different explanations for things.
Yeah.
And to reconcile, as I said, I can only respond to a question if I see a source inside, not how you will remember it. And I could look at it and say, okay, here's the question. That's, to me, an intelligent way to make parallels.
Okay.
Or else... very hard for me to relate to, because I don't know what you read, what you didn't read. I don't remember what it says in Tiny Paper Mal that's relevant here altogether, frankly. Okay. Now comes level 3. Remember we talked about Yisrael Zutta and Yaakov. Now is Yisrael Saba, which is the lower Yichud, actually. Yisrael Saba v'tfuna. That's Abba v'ima tatan. And then we're going to move to the higher Yichud, which is Abba v'ima ilan. So now we go to Meichem be'etzem. That's higher than emotions in the heart. Now we're talking in the configuration, in the structure of intelligence itself. We're not talking about in the realm of maturing the emotions. Now we're going the other way around. That in the mind, there are the midas within the mind. The b'chinas Yisrael Saba, the b'chinas midas shebechachme. Because Yisrael Saba is not... Move that, please. Yisrael Saba is the midas in Chochmah. V'tfunu zeh midas shebebina. So now he's establishing Yisrael Saba is the midas, the motions in Chochmah. And Tfuna, Yisrael Saba and Tfuna, that's the Yichud, he said the Arizal. Yisrael Saba and Tfuna is Bina, is the midas within Bina. So now he's going to explain what this is. So now we're going the other way around. And what is the midas here? These emotions. This is not excitement. It's not that they're in a state of excitement. Like the example, the midas, the emotions in the heart that are get excited. They're excitable. They're palatable, tangible excitement, arousal. Because in the midas in seichel, the emotions within intelligence, there's two things. One is the sichli, there's an excitement about the intelligence. That with during his contemplation and meditation, his mind is excited on the godliness, ba'ava, through love, or be'ira, or through awe, or respect. I didn't use fear intentionally. L'finesa has been, according to the subject of the contemplation. Shazel b'chinis is pilas mamish, k'mev shemidah shebelev. This is literal excitement, just like the emotions in the heart. Rak shehem bedakus. However, they're much far more subtle. Okay, now starts a parenthesis. How long does this go? Maybe we'll skip it. It goes all the way to the middle of the next page or further even? Okay, it's not so bad. Fine. I thought it was very long. I would jump. But okay, so I know this may be confusing because he just said that Medus and Meichen is not his pilus. And now he's saying that it is. Okay, but remember, he's breaking it now down into parts. In general, Midas and Meichen is not like the emotions in the heart. Obviously, he's going to explain why. So the first thing he's saying is there's excitement, but it's bedakas yes. So let's just for now say, so what's the difference between this, for example, and when he learned, when you're learning Torah and you're excited, seemingly the same thing. You're learning Torah, you're excited. I mean, I'm not going to I don't want to jump the gun here. But I would say immediately, because there the focus is on the maturing of your emotions. There and here the focus is on the mind. So it's true, technically you could say one leads to the next, but it's a very big focus. There, when you're learning, let's say you're learning chassidus, you get very excited about an idea. Not about yourself, we're talking about the idea. So there's two parts to it. You can get excited by the idea, there's excitement. But you're not talking about an excitement that says, okay, now I will enjoy godliness more than I enjoy candy. That's already its maturing of the emotion. So it's true, remember, that everything is very close to each other, but if you really dissect it into parts, one is the excitement of the idea, and the second is that it actually matures your subject, your emotional attraction to more refined things. That would be the focus earlier. So there is a commonality, and I'm sure he's going to spell it out, but this is, I just want to not, so we shouldn't remain confused. Clearly two aspects to the emotional experience of an intelligent concept. So one is the intelligence. So let's continue. He's going to say now in our parentheses, he's qualifying this this dakus.
When you talk about minus delighting, does that mean you're involving late or it's sleeping with the minimum life?
I'm not sure. Let's see. I don't know. Let's see what he spells out. I mean, let's not be technical here. What do you mean involving live? If it's excitement, it's midas. So is the lev shebemayach. I mean, we're not talking about the heart of the heart. We're talking about is the meidah shebemeichin. Look. God did not create, like, you know, a computer has no emotions. You could say the mind is a computer, but it's not that way. The mind speaks to the heart speaks to the mind, they influence each other, they dilute each other, they distort each other, right? That's a given. So you have to remember that Midas and Meichen are far more than not as mutually exclusive. I mean, we'd like to speak about them first as two separate entities, but then when they interact with each other, there's a much more going on. So that's why it's very subtle distinctions here. But let's read it, and then we'll explain it. I mean, we're going slowly here. We'll do this meticulously. Now in the parentheses. So now he's saying, he just said there's two things in Midas of Meichen, and now he's saying, in this itself, the first thing, which is what? The more subtle excitement from the intelligence, it itself has breaks into two things. Sheyesh chesed v'gura megulim u'mechusim. There's revealed chesed and gvura and mechusim and concealed. The kasher is born is obeyemik upnimis inyan, because when he's contemplating on the depth and the internal and the inner subject matter, oza is pilosu bulti murgeshes. Then the excitement is not sensed. You don't sense an excitement. He doesn't say there's no ispilos. You just don't sense it. In other words, it would be like you're learning something. You're so immersed that you're so taken by the idea. So there's an excitement going on, but you're not focusing. You're not saying I'm excited by it. You're not even feeling it. It's like when a person is completely in the zone, they're completely consumed, where there's no subject and object. It's like you're reading. You're so engrossed in it, you don't even have time to be excited, so to speak. You don't have. It's more the presence of mind is not there. It's not like you're stepping back and saying, "I just learned something. It was really exciting." That's what he's saying here. But when he's focusing more on the outer dimension of it, he's not so immersed in the inner, then it's felt, it's sensed more. I mean, to me this is very, very obvious, but in case you don't get it, let me just explain it, let's say here. I'm trying to find a real example. You use, for you the nimshal is like the mashal. I love that, you know. Why don't you bring a muscle from the Fnei Tzimtzum to explain what's going on after the Tzimtzum? No, that's not. I'm speaking, trying to make it personal that we can relate to. You listen to a song, and there's two states of experiencing a song. You can be completely taken by the song and literally forget that you're there. You forget yourself completely. You can't even talk about me experiencing a song. It's where the subject and object melt into one. It's like total immersion where there's no longer I'm experiencing something. I am listening to a song. You can't talk about it because as soon as you talk about it, you're already outside of it. It's a, you know, the example I've given, it's not exact for this topic, but the similar example, like what's your left leg doing? So before I mentioned it, it was there. You just were not conscious of it. That doesn't mean it wasn't there. Just that you're not. It's life force is so one with us, we don't think about it. What does life feel like? Tell me. As soon as you know, describe what it feels like, it's really not a good sign. So there's an experience where there's, like when you say, Mala Oretz Deyes Hashem Kamayim Liyam Mechasim, that the world will be filled with divine knowledge as the waters cover the sea. What's the meaning, waters cover the sea? It means like a fish in water. Do you think a fish feels it's in water? When you go into water, you feel it. You know why? Because you're not a water mammal. You're a dry person. So when you're dry, you go into wetness. You feel wetness. Does water get wet? Does a fish get wet? So there's knowing a subject, and I learned something new today. And then you become one with the knowledge, where you are the knowledge. It's not a matter, oh, I know this. I am this. It's a very big difference. It's like the difference between acting, what's the word I want to say? Then the verb of love and being love. A state of being and acting is, and behaving that way is not the same thing. A state of being means it's 24/7. Friedrich Rebbe says that a soldier is a soldier 24/7. Even when he's asleep, it's a state of being, not when he's fighting. Same thing with any experience. So we really have two ways to experience something. I'm experiencing it like it's not me, but I'm experiencing it. And then you become it. It's a very, very different thing. So I'm just trying to find examples of when you're really it. It's an example. I can't say it's exactly this, but it's an example for this, that when a person is so immersed in the pnimius and amic of something, that thing completely takes control of you. and you're like just a piece of a bigger thing, and you don't even know it. And as soon as you're aware, you lose the moment, the magic. So then, whereas if a person is focusing on the chitzenius, he says, then he's murgish. It's murgish, you feel it. This, by the way, was discussed earlier. We did learn this earlier. These two levels. These two levels of megulim and mechusim. So, in an interesting and fascinating way, you can say, which is a bigger emotion? The one that you don't feel, the one you feel? The answer is far more greater that you don't feel. Because who says feeling it makes it great? That's again worshipping our feelings. Just because you think it doesn't need fireworks and dramatics to make it great. The greatness of it is the experience, not you. And if you'd asked, what do I feel is greater? Yeah, then the I obviously feels when there's a lot more noise. But the silence of it and being completely, what's the word I mean, you're subsumed. Where you become invisible, you become completely submerged in it, is far, far deeper experience. But it's not what we like, because we like to talk about it. And we want to be able to analyze it and say, I experienced it. The person who's really there doesn't need that. Because you want to have it, you want to experience it. See what I'm saying? So, as I said, just an example of trying to understand these two things. So all this is, what is the first thing? That there's an excitement, and there's two levels in this excitement itself. So right here, we know it's already not like the emotions. Because when we spoke earlier, the Meichen Shebemidus, the Megut Mechesed Gvura Mechusim is for sure distinguished from there. Before he was talking about an excitement, a palatable and a tangible excitement from something you're learning. You're Kochenzich in it. You're Kochenzich, and he went and kissed him. He's not, there's an emotional, tangible, emotional thing. Here, he's saying even the first thing where there's excitement is not even a sensed excitement. The place where it's more complicated is that when you do sense it. How is that different than what we learned earlier? So I said earlier that the difference is that there the focus is on the maturity of the middah, and here the focus is on the excitement of the idea. It's not the same thing. One leads to the other. Of course, if you're excited about the idea, it'll mature your emotion if you allow it to. But it's not the same thing. There's the middah, the meichen shebemidah, and here's the middah shebemeichen. So the middah shebemeichen will become the meichen shebemidah, obviously. Okay? So we're still in the parentheses. He's saying that there's two levels here. I mean, this is, I think, unbelievable stuff. You just don't read anywhere. Nobody has ever, in such an evolved way, dissected how the mind and the heart work, you know? I've never read anything close to this in any psychology. Have you? They don't even relate to this. But, you know, the most it's about the mind, the heart, the balance, the fight. Because the idea that the mind gets excited is a critical component. Because that's, in psychology, there is a concept that they call the cognitive life raft. That when you experience a trauma or something, a very emotional experience that doesn't let you go somewhere because you're afraid. You know, even if a dark closet or whatever it may be. So there's a cognitive life raft where you use the mind to like imagine. It makes it safer intellectually. And once the mind feels safe, like it can tell the child, come out from under the table, safe to go. So you can use the mind to develop the emotion to relate to something that's more, that initially, instinctively would just be afraid of or just react emotionally to it. But which to me is the closest thing to the development of mechan help the midas grow. I mean, but there's not a lot of people who really do that well. I mean, I've studied this, like therapists or that really help a person with a process of how to help your mind, help your emotions actually grow from here to here to here. I mean, there's some that are very good at doing that in general, not many, but that's really, to me, that's like real, this is pure chassidus. V'hayinu mepnei shenirgish b'zeh habechein. Why does he feel it? We're talking about the outer, where you're already feeling the excitement. Because you're sensing the bechein, you're sensing the result. The gambeis is bonus ena mekusha kol kach be'inyan, because even when he was concentrating, he's not really completely immersed in it like a fish in water. Kol kach be'inyan hamusig. V'nigush esle yesra ili v'hayeker. He's feeling the ili. He's feeling. I'm feeling. It's exalted and it's special and it's precious, which is beautiful, obviously. But I'm feeling it. So he's not really It's not like the Rebbe, like the Rebbe, Friedrich Rebbe says in Kutin Deburim, that you should learn Torah in a way that Torah learns you, teaches you. Not that you're learning Torah, but Torah is, I mean, so Lenin Torah with the Torah Lenin did. So there's a big difference between the two. So we say about Simchus Torah, are we dancing with the Torah, is the Torah dancing with us? In other words, who's in control here? So true bittel, like we say, going into a mikveh. Why is a mikveh called tefillah? Tefillah? Tefillah is the words of bittel. You're supposed to be completely immersed. That one drop should be out. Why? Because the point is that it shouldn't be about you. You're immersing in the mehadas hatoel. Not that I'm there getting wet. That the water is consuming you. You're now part of it. It's like in the womb. Complete. Now someone once asked me, I remember by a class, why is it important? Someone that they put a keli, a new utensil. Yeah, and then a mikveh. And they forgot to take off the tag. So someone said, you got to do it again. So someone said, what's the big thing? A tag. So what? So I said, you're right, physically, yeah, if I'm cleaning the thing, if it was to clean it, you're right. You don't need to wash it all over again. The tag is a little piece. But if you think of as a qualitative immersion, even one drop is not immersed. Think of a child, God forbid, in the mother's womb, and there's one leak. The mother's womb is not completely intact. It's dangerous. Because real immersion is total immersion. And it's not a matter of quantity. It's not like 99% was immersed and 1% not. If it's not total,
It's
not immersion, period. So the same thing he's saying here. So this person is focusing on the idli v'yekir, the kasher bonus be'emek primis inyan, because when you're concentrating on the emek primis inyan, you're completely immersed in the depth of it. See, the thing here is that seeing a little different than what I said. I was talking about more that you're completely mekushetet, what he said before, his kashrus. He's saying something even more here, that when you really understand the depth of something, it automatically becomes more consuming. So if you're more superficial, if you're more focusing on your excitement, you're automatically not allowing yourself to be immersed. If you really allow the idea to take you somewhere, then it's a whole different story. Good opportunity here for my usual little comment. This is called real listening. When we heard of Fabringen, and when I remember the Fabringen well, it was complete immersion. This is why, again, I'm always disturbed. And again, I'm not criticizing you. Do as you see fit. But if you're unable to, if you keep bringing your ideas, that means that you're listening to this all based on me, how I understand it. And if you really let go, completely let go of yourself, and let these ideas control, then you're in a different world. And that's real learning. That's really sitting with Ayin Beis and erasing everything you learned until now. What is the Rebbe trying to tell me right now? I can tell you, I was by Fabringen. I was a chizer. And very few people were able to remember Fabringen. Very few people could even remember 10 minutes cohesively. That's how. How could that be? You know, they all valued and respected the Rebbe because they never allowed themselves to erase their hard drive. They came in with something that they wanted or knew, and when the Rebbe said something, on the contrary, it stimulated, said, that answers my questions. That was the worst thing a person could do if you want to remember, because it's about you. You're processing what you're hearing. Total immersion, total absorption is forget about anything you know, I just want to hear what is being said. People went to Yechidus by the Rebbe. And many times they went back and said, I want to hear again what the Rebbe said. Why? Because they didn't really listen. They were listening it from their lens. They didn't let go completely and say, let me just hear what the Rebbe is saying. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to do, because our egos and our insecurities and our, unfortunately, flawed training has not taught us how to be that way, to really absorb. But you have to know that is the standard. That's the real immersion. He's saying it here very specifically. It never really means it's clear. It's clear as day. He says when you in emeka inyan, harisichli torad beetsam inyan ve'ena margish klal esaila ve'yikir. Your seichel is now controlled by the inyan, not by you. And he doesn't feel at all. Even the ilu, he doesn't even feel appreciate the quality and the preciousness of elikus. Because he's in it. When you're in it, why are you talking about it? Why are you celebrating? Why are you? I don't mean why are you celebrating. How are you able to even celebrate? There's no one. The Indian should be completely consuming you. That's why I'm looking for examples in our lives for such a taste of this, even if it's not pure Gedusha, because you at least get a taste that this thing is doable, and it's absolutely doable. There's no question about it. I know for myself, I mean, there are times you're just so consumed by something, doesn't necessarily mean it's holy, as I said, and it completely takes control, and that's it, and you're not even thinking about the value of it.
or the lack of value of it.
Right, or the consequences, right? Now he's qualifying. He's not saying there's no ilui. He says definitely in this this comprehension, there's an ilui god. Look, a starke rechkeit. The hestesis. You know, starke rechkeit is a very, very beautiful expression. It means a stronger richness, a powerful richness. Very good. Starke rechkeit. Dem kann man verbringen ein bisschen. Aber einer Emed Bamburgisch Haze. But he's not standing, he's not allowing himself. He's not in an Emed, interesting expression, Emed Bamburgisch Haze. He's not getting stuck, and he's not he's not getting stuck in this sensation, in this feeling.
Crossing a river, you feel the
which
water.
Feeling? Because if he's in that set, there is no feeling.
He said, "There's an ili godl. There's a great ili. You could, yeah, you could stop immediately and start focusing, and then you're out of it."
I thought when you're at that level, you're devoid.
That's exactly
of
what he's saying.
That's exactly what he's saying. But there's definitely an ili godl.
Even though there's what to feel good about,
Not allowing. You're just not there.
Right. If you're maybe allowing or not allowing, you're already out of it.
He's trying to suggest. He's trying to say that it's not like nothing's happening. It's just that you're not. You're in a place where you're not experiencing it as.
Even getting stuck is not right.
He says, "Bamurgos, the feeling that can be derived from this, he's not there."
Yeah. Mashenkin kishes by nusubchinis chotenis haseichel. However, in contrast, when the contemplation is the outer dimension of seichel, ein sichli torud kolkach. That's haminyan. His mind is not so torud. He's not so busy. Not so consumed in the core idea of alkenu emet b'murgish, and that's why he stands in a state of feeling habchein of the result shoaik hayekud elikus, which is the preciousness of the divine. It's what I've said many times about Moshe. When Moshe said to Hashem, "I want to see you," you know, the word from the Ponim Yofis I brought with the Rebbe brings made a dikavort, where he says that Moshe says, "Areini nos chvedecha, show me your glory, show your face." And God says, "Lei reini odom v'chai, no person can see me and live." And then God says, "V'le'ises achera, you'll see my back. I'll show you my back. U'ponai lo yira, my face I will not show you." So the question is asked: God said already that no man can see me and live. Why do you have to rub it in again? Uponai lo yira. He says, "Okay, I'll show you my back." What does it say? No, and my face you will not see. Making sure to emphasize that. And what was Moshe's havamina? What did he think? Moshe was not wise enough. You know, you can't see God's face. We say God's face, we mean God's etzem, obviously, what the Rambam explains. And then, of course, the final question is, Moshe asked for something, and the Torah documents his request, and then what? We're told that God told no. What's the point? Why emphasize that?
Huh?
Right, exactly.
And,
yeah, so clearly there's lessons there. So the Rebbe, the Ponim Yofis was the Baal HaFla, was his name?
We know it's from the Rebbe.
right. But the Ponim Yofis says it's made of the Kavart. Ponim Yofis is a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. He was a big Baal Nigla, Baal HaFla is called, Baal Ponim Yofis. What was his name? Why is it slipping my mind? Okay. Anyway, the answer he gives is, well, the Nigla in Gemara says like this, that Hashem said to Moshe, Ponim Yofis. You know why? Because when I wanted to show you my face, you didn't want to look. That was by the sneh. When he saw the burning bush. So Hashem says, "Look at me." And Moshe covered his eyes. He says, When I wanted to show you, you did not look. So now, when you want to see, I'm not going to show it to you. So the question, obviously, the Gemara says this. Huh? No, this is the Gemara. Brach. So the obvious question, which is, what does that mean? With God's getting even? Tit for tat? Like, you know, when I wanted to show you, didn't, and now I'm not going to let you see. So the answer is that when God wants you to see it, that means when you're completely dedicated to God, you can see it. When you want to see it, and it's me, that's a contradiction. Because you cannot see God and the essence of God and not be God. So Moshe was saying, the Abishah was saying, you're supposed to read the verse with the comma has to be after uponai. For the isay es acherei uponai. I'll show you my back and my face. But my face you will see by lo yiro, by not looking. So the achirai, the outer dimensions, you can see more directly, or even through shlila, or to some. But to really experience this, there cannot be any you there. You allow yourself to completely block everything out and just allow yourself to emerge, to immerse, it will emerge. It's a real full experience. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Because it's really the contradiction to everything we learn in this world. Everybody in this world is about acquiring things and holding on to them. Anything that's real in life, you can't acquire, and does not, and you can, and emerges. Truth, God, soul, love, anything. Show me something that is real, that you can acquire, and that you can hold on to. There's no such thing. The truth things in the world means you, truth. I want truth. As soon as the I want truth, you're already diluting it. These things emerge when you allow yourself to basically mevatel yourself. Kol habareich min ha-kovid. When someone runs away from kovid, that's when kovid pursues you. And the Rebbe emphasizes and not running away from COVID and looking over your shoulder if it's running after you. Understand? So, yes, with money it works also, but not that way, not as a formula. The Rebbe brings about mitzvah shikha. There are mitzvahs, and the Kutta Teiri says there are mitzvahs that we keep them through by not knowing, by not being aware. Shikha. Like, for example, things you leave when you pick the field and things you left over because you forgot them. So Chassidus says forgetting is the mitzvah. By not being aware of it, that itself, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. So the mitzvahs are fulfilled by lack of cognizance.
By the lo yiro, right.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote the sikha. It was unbelievable vart. I repeat it many times. It's because it's more than just the explanation of the pasuk. It's a real experience. It's a real experience. We live in a world where everything is commodities. People want, I want to have, and then they'll say, okay, what about the pane? Yeah, for a price you can also get that. You know, like, tell me what price. Well, but bittul can't be fooled, basically. It's either you bottle or you're not bottle. That's right. Either, you're either immersed in the mikveh and there's nothing sticking out, or you're not. No halves. I think it's an aliyah, not a yerida.
Well, then he couldn't see the face because he used to be too much.
He could see the face, but it might be an aliyah.
Before that, if he could see it.
Okay. Where did you say before that he could see it?
You said he could have seen it before that.
I never said such a thing.
He held his eyes.
When he offered the shirt.
You said it.
Well, when he didn't ask for it, when God wants to show it to you, yeah, that means it's not about him.
He would have been able to see it at
home. Well, yeah. It didn't work out, so probably not. Clearly, he wasn't ready.
Obviously.
But the point is well taken. And not when you're ready, it's when God is ready. Like we said, God is not on the couch, we are.
As soon as he could, he can't.
Okay, so this parenthesis qualifies, let's just go back, this parenthesis qualifies what? That the first thing in Midrash HaBeSeichel, he's distinguishing Midrash HaBeSeichel from Seichel Shebemidrash, basically. So the first thing, the emotions in Seichel, is that there is a excitement during his contemplation. And then he says, in that itself, but it's what's far more subtle than the other way where the excitement is the emotion, and it's being guided by the intelligence.
What's the difference in the disponibles?
I'm sorry?
What's the difference in the disponibles?
Who says there's a difference? Then he qualifies and says in the parentheses that this itself, there's two levels. One, where you're so immersed in the depth of it that there's no feeling altogether, you don't have to feel anything, even though it's a great experience, even though there's great ilui, great quality to it, reichkeit, shakarach. And there's a second state where you're actually focusing and feeling, sensing something. But even that second thing, where you're sensing it, it's far more refined, far more subtle, than when the focus is on the maturity of the emotions. I said again and again, I say it again. There's no contradiction to say one leads to the next. What's the problem with that? Someone's learning, immersed and very excited about the learning. Then that excitement they develop and matures their emotion, that they should emotionally be more excited about, not about toys, but about more refined ideas. Let's continue. So now he's speaking about Chachma. He says like this. Like in Chachma, there's no excitement there. It's more of cleaving. It's a connection. It's just connecting. Like when you have a concept comes into your mind, you conceive. There's no time or room for your celebration. All you're doing is really just appreciating an idea that flashed into your brain. So it's not about excitement. The excitement will manifest in Bina more. Shezo b'chinas midas sheba chachma. That's the midas sheba chachma. That he said was Yisrael Saba, if you remember.
That excitement comes from Bina.
Yeah. Remember he said midas sheba chachma? Okay, so we're still talking about the Yispaila Sikhli. Fine. Yeah. Ukameshikosim okamach, like it says elsewhere. Is there going to be a second level? What time is it now?
It's 10:47.
I'm wondering whether this three lines doesn't belong in the parentheses. Because Chachma seems to be like the higher level, where you're not really feeling it, it's just connecting, attached to it. Okay. You know, you could say it's also in general, fine. So he said that this is the spunus is bedakus. The midas are bedakus because it's more of dveikus, it's not ispilus. Okay. Omnam yesh b'chinis midas, she'enum b'chinis ispilus. Now, omnam, however, there are emotions that are not in a state of excitement. Kim behem b'chinis hatiya v'hamshacha. They're only a inclination and being drawn to something. So why is this called midas if it's not excitement? Because a midah means a revelation, something is revealed. So in other words, there's an excitement element in a midah where you get emotional or passionate about something, and then there's a midah as in turn of being drawn to something. He's saying these two things. Is this the second thing? I think so. Is there a base? Did anyone read through this? Okay, let's read on. We'll see if it works. So this is just being drawn to something. And he explains now. Is this the general difference between intelligence, cognitive, and emotional? Intelligence in general is higher than revelation, vispashtus, and expression. Amidus is gili vispashtus. Amidus is a form of revelation and extension. So it's another element in midus here. One is spilus and one is spashtus, gili. Vizeu yisaydein amavur bekamaduchtin. This is the foundation of what is explained in many, many texts. That intelligence does not need another. And midas is impossible without another. We say in the Maamar Bar Mitzvah that Avram, he had pain because he didn't have Archim, because you can't have chesed without someone to give it to. Meichin, you can sit your entire life on an island and contemplate. You don't need anybody. Because why is that the case? Why can't you just sit and enjoy your ability to love? Because midas are not, it's not an incidental element. Midas fundamentally is about expression. It would be like a teacher who's fundamentally a teacher. He cannot teach himself. He needs a student to teach. A melech bloyam type of idea. It's not melech here, but the idea is that a midas is a fundamental expressor. And by expression, you need to have who to express it to. That's why midas cannot be without another to whom to reveal and to express, extend it to. Intelligence on its fundamental core, its inherent nature, is such that it's not in the form of gilis pashtus. Its energy is an internal one. That's why it's not at all necessary that it has to be communicated to another. You can sit and contemplate, conceive of ideas for yourself. Now again, the key thing to remember here is don't think of intelligence and emotions from the bottom up, think of it from the top down. They're two divine forces. Before they were called Meichen and Midas, they were two divine forces. One was a divine force that is internal, and one is a divine force that's meant to express. That evolves into what we call Meichen and Midas. So this is not an analysis of intelligence and emotions, it's the soul of intelligence and emotions. It's critical in understanding Chassidus. You always want to see how it is at its root. At its root, Meichen is an internal expression. That's why God blessed us with a mind where you can sit and conceive. Midas is fundamentally a relationship, based on a relationship. And a relationship requires another. What's the Sibah Sehefer Sazeh? What is the root, the cause, the Sibah, the reason, the root difference, so-called, the root, the cause for this difference? Because Meichen are fundamental Atzmim. They're core entities. They're what an Atzmi, I'll explain in a moment what an Atzmi is. And something that's core does not reveal itself and is not expressed. Remember we said before, God and his etzem, you can't experience him if you're going to be there. Why? Because an etzem is not about experience. An etzem is about being, state of being. You know, they say, a man experiences love, a woman is love. The noun and the verb. When you're in something, you are it. When you are it, experience is actually a contradiction in a way. I wouldn't say contradiction, it's more of a concealment. Because an etzem is an etzem. An atzmi is someone that does not need any type of a stimulation or recognition, because it's true because it's true. The fact that somebody needs to be recognized, that an experience needs to be experienced, tells you immediately, why does it need to be experienced? Why can't it be true without experiencing it? Why do you need to be recognized? Because of either insecurity or because we live in a world where things don't have inherent value. So if it's not going to get attention, what value does it have? Real people don't need attention because they're real, not because somebody recognized them. I'm not going to ask you to make a list of people you know which fit into which category. But there are, definitely. The truth is God created every human being on this earth, and we all have real because we're real because God wants us here. But very few people really value that. So most of us are valuing things that others value. It's like the blind leading the blind. You know, I started writing a poem once. I never finished it. It's called, I watch people watching people watching people watching people. You know what I mean? You get the idea? You never finish that type of poem.
That's huh?
Right. Because we're continuing to watch others. To be real. The secret of being real. I feel unmasked. What do you think?
Impossible.
Huh? No, mashke is as if you are a mikveh. It takes you completely. It takes you to another place. Yes. But those are abzalman the shikar is gezakt. Weißt doch. Yeah. As we drink mashke, we then drink the tzaris, and then you find out that tzaris float. You heard that one?
Yeah, they
can't swim. Yeah, not only they float, they go to the. Yeah,
it's still around, you know.
Yeah, he'll be around. He's Dera Shvi.
Oh, Hashem, listen. Everybody said he's finished.
He's Kaim Beish. Kaim Beish. Some people. The men, the species are preserved, and some people, the individual is preserved.
Oh, you know,
he's preserved the actual.
What's the word?
Kayam. I'm sorry. He has some other very good lines. You know, the one with who is it? Somebody was analyzing Shlomo Arozov was analyzing the Rabbein or something. He was drunk, lying there, like everyone thought he was out. But he heard him like comparing the Rebbe Rashab and the Friedrich Rebbe. So he suddenly pops up and he says, "Was verstehst du in der Rebbe?" Or something like that, you know. But it came from the depths of his kishkes. You know, he heard it in his stupor. So that's an etzem. The truth is, it's hard to describe an etzem to someone that's not an etzem, a natsmi. The fact that we can understand it is number one through process of elimination, and number two because we do have atzmi in us, because God gave in us a sense of type of like he says, mitzuyusim atzmuse in tanya yesh anivra. We sense that we are endless. Nobody feels that I was born 30 years ago, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and I'm going to pass away. Our mind tells us that. But we have a sense of immortality within us. And the Alter Rebbe says that comes from Atzmos, who has that immortality and gave implanted in us that sense. The objective, obviously, is not to use it arrogantly, but to understand it's a divine blessing. But the point being is an Atzmi, and that's what he's saying. So the root of Seichel, this is unbelievable. Because this is a big aspect of Ayin Beis, is that Meichin, Chochma, is the interface between the beyond and here. So Meichin is actually Etzem manifesting in our systems. Not Kesa. Kesa is Bittel, Ayin. Meichin is your understanding, but when you really immerse yourself in something where you lose yourself, you're actually creating interface between Gvul and Bligvul. That's really the core of what he's saying here. He's not spelling it out yet, but this is like a big... This is a recurrent theme in Ayin Beis, constantly. It's beautifully stated here, this way. See where he's going with this. So it's not some type of incident. Remember I mentioned when he speaks Seichel Midas again and again? He's not just using it as an example. That is the core interface of what he's describing. Because Chochmah is where they meet, where Ayin meets Yesh. Koyech Ma. It's a Koyech, but it's Ma. It's Bittel. Unbelievable. But you see here, the interface is so delicate that you have a state where you don't feel it at all. There's a state where you do feel it. And then there's a state where your emotions are the Iker and the Meichin is the Tafel. And there's a state where emotions are the primary and the Seichel is only a reason, you know. So you mamash see here, you could see literally the stages in human experience of where we stand. Obviously, we're pretty low on the ladder, bound to Yaakov, probably lower than Yaakov. But clearly have a ladder here, how to climb. And one of the ways is immersing ourselves in contemplation till you lose yourself. Okay. This is good material. I got myself a few good speeches out of this one. You know, like they say, speakers and writers never do tshuva. You know that one? You know why? Because every time they hear something that is inspiring, they say, great material for my next article. So they deflect it instead of personalize.
I don't think it
are. Right, so I
suffer. Stuck in cutaneous.
Yeah. But we're not going to sit. Okay, so this is the suds. Sibes hefres. And midas is essentially a reflection. And a reflection extends itself and reveals itself. I'm wondering, is it 11 already?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going to stop here. Let me just see. Well, how long is this parenthesis?
That's a lot.
This is not so short.
No, it goes to the Machmacher.
Oh, you're right. No, only to Perek Nun Zayin. I'm sorry. No. Where does it go? Oh, Machmacher. Okay. But it needs more explanation. Let's stop here. It's fine. We did good here. Okay, chapter 135. We did page 261 and 262, the first half of chapter 135.